Welcome to WCRI's Kids Hour. Whether you're a child, teen, young adult, or just young at heart, we hope to show you a world filled with music and the arts. It's all around us. It's in your favorite cartoons, TV shows, movies,
inconceivable,
video games, musicals, theme parks, and so much more. It's everywhere. During this show, we'll explore the many ways music and the arts are a part of everyday life, and maybe even get a visit from a special guest from time to time.
You don't say!
So, come along with us as we learn and have fun, but most of all, we'll enjoy lots and lots of wonderful music. WCRI's Kids Hour is brought to you by Newport Classical. Newport Classical has brought memorable concerts and inspired programs to some of the most beautiful venues in Newport and the surrounding area. For more information on Newport Classical or to donate, please visit newportclassical.org. Oh, we better go. I hear the orchestra getting ready for today's show.
WCRI and Newport Classical presents Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, the tale of a miserly man who comes to realize the true spirit of Christmas. When this story first appeared over 175 years ago, few observed Christmas other than a church. Few employers gave workers off for the holiday, and the jolly country celebration of England's past were largely forgotten in the cities. But this little story helped transform Christmas from a staid religious holiday into the joyous season of faith, feasting, and goodwill it is to this very day. Dickens' Ghost Story of Christmas opens in London on a cold, snowy December 24th in the year 1843.
Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. Ebenezer Scrooge was a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. A hard-hearted miser. On this evening, the office of Scrooge and Marley was shrouded in cold, bleak, biting weather. But external heat and cold had little influence on Scrooge. No wind that blew was bitterer than he.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was
bad.
Merry Christmas. Humbug, begone, you miserable little beggars. Take your infernal Christmas carols and get away from my door.
Sorry, sir. Merry Christmas, though, sir.
Bah! And you, nephew, what right have you to be merry? You're poor enough. Merry Christmas? Bah! Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, uncle? You don't mean that, I'm sure. What right have you to be dismal about Christmas? You're rich enough. Don't be cross, uncle.
What else can I be, Fred? When I live in such a world of fools as this, Merry Christmas. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding. And buried with such a stake of holly through his heart. Ha! Keep your Christmas in your own way, nephew, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. But good it has ever done you.
But Christmas time is a good time, uncle. And though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say God bless it.
God bless Christmas! Hurrah!
You there, Bob Cratchit. Let me hear another sound from you and you'll be keep your Christmas by losing your situation. Now, return to those letters.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Don't be angry, uncle. Come, dine with us for Christmas dinner tomorrow. Helen would love to meet you.
Helen? Oh, yes. Your wife. Why did you get married, Fred?
Because I fell in love, uncle.
Because you fell in love with a woman as penniless as yourself, Fred? Oh, good afternoon.
But you never visited before my marriage, and I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you.
Very well. Good afternoon.
Oh, I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon. Mr. Cratchit, see my nephew out.
This way, Mr. Fred. And a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
And to you and your family, Bob. How is Mrs. Cratchit and the little Cratchits? Especially your youngest, the lame boy?
Tim, sir. Tiny Tim. He's getting better. Thank you for asking. Happy Christmas to you, sir. Two, to see you, mister.
Good day, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my partner, has been dead these 7 years. In fact, he died 7 years ago this very night. I am Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, at this our festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we seek charity for the poor and destitute.
You see, many thousands are in want of common necessities. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons, Mr. Scrooge.
And the union workhouses? Are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh! I was afraid that something had stopped them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it.
Well, they scarcely furnish Christian cheer, Mr. Scrooge. A few of us wish to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We do so now because it is a time when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. So, what shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Ah, you wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas. I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the prisons and workhouses. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Oh, but many can't go there.
Yes, many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
I see. So the firm of Scrooge and Marley declines.
It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good evening, then.
Very well. You have made your views quite clear. Good evening to you, sir.
Mr. Scrooge, it's 7 o'clock, sir, and it's Christmas Eve.
So? Oh. I suppose you'll want all day tomorrow, eh, Mr. Cratchit?
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. You don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work?
Tis but once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier the next morning, Mr. Cratchit.
I will, sir. Thank you. And, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, indeed. Bah.
Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern and walked home through the rolling fog and bitter cold. He silently passed the urchins crowded round fires in the street, trying to keep warm. The icy Scrooge trudged along through the dark streets, but just as he reached the door of his dismal house, he thought he heard something calling. It was the voice of his long-dead partner, Jacob Marley, whose ghostly face appeared on the door knocker. Scrooge hurried inside, closed the door, and locked himself in. He double-locked himself in. He checked the sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet. Secured against surprise, Scrooge put on his dressing gown and nightcap and sat down before the fire to take his gruel. When suddenly...
What is it? What? Every bell in the house must be ringing? What in the... world? Nonsense. Humbug. It's all humbug. I had... wait. What's that? Someone's in the cellar. The doors are locked. Double locked. Something is coming. Up the stairs. Closer. It's outside my door. It's humbug. I won't believe it. What do you want with me? Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me, Scrooge. Why do you doubt your senses?
A disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You're not a ghost. You're just a bit of a beef. A blot of mustard. A fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of the grave about you, whatever you are. Humph! Humbug, I tell you. Humbug. Mercy! I believe you! I believe you! I must... oh, dreadful aberration! Why do you trouble me? Why do the spirits walk the earth? Why come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death, doomed to wander the world and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared, and turn to happiness.
You are fettered, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life, link by link, yard by yard. I'm chained by cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers. Witness the weight and length of strong chain you bear yourself, Scrooge. It is a ponderous chain.
I see no chain.
You shall. On the day of your death, mark me. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole. Now, I am doomed to wander without rest or peace. No regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused.
But you were always a good man of... business.
Business? Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. But it is at this time of the rolling year that I suffer most.
I'm sorry for you, Jacob Burris. Is there anything I can do for you?
For me, it is too late, but I have come to warn you of a hope and chance of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by three spirits. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. The second, the next night at the same hour. The third, upon the next night at the last stroke of 12. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread.
Oh!
that poor woman and her infant huddled on the doorstep below. Look, that you may see for your own sake.
Ghosts, phantoms, hundreds, chained, just like yourself. They surrounded the woman, but they are not hunting her. They're pleading. She can't see them. Their anguish? Why do these ghosts lament, Jacob? Why do they wail?
They seek to aid her. They seek to do good in human matters, but have lost their power forever. They wail in unceasing torture and remorse. Beware this cruel fate, Ebenezer. Beware! Beware!
Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed, still in his robe. Was Marley's visit a dream or not? He decided it was a dream and nothing more.
There will now be a brief intermission. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to our presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure.
Ebenezer Scrooge?
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
Your past. I come for your welfare. Rise, Scrooge, and walk with me.
What? Out the window? But I am mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. A little market town appeared in the distance, with its bridge, its church, and winding river. It was a clear, cold winter day, with fresh snow upon the ground.
Do you recognize this place, Scrooge?
Good heavens! I was bred in this place. I was a boy here! Look, in that coach going by, my schoolmates, Edward and John.
Hurrah! Merry Christmas!
They're on the Norfolk coach taking them home for Christmas holiday. Hello! Johnny! Lord! It's me, Ebenezer!
Wait. These are but shadows of the things that have been. They have no consciousness of us. Come.
Why, it's my old schoolhouse. Alas, it wasn't a place of learning, more like a prison.
On Christmas Eve, the school is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still. A lonely boy reading beside a feeble fire. Do you know him?
Yes, I know him. I am that child, alone. My own companions were my books. Ali Baba, Robin Crusoe. Oh, poor boy. Oh, I wish, but it's too late now.
What is the matter, Scrooge?
Oh, nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Let us see another Christmas. Come.
Why, it's me, years later, but still away at this dismal school alone on Christmas.
Ebenezer! Ebenezer!
It's Fan, my sister, my beloved Fan.
Dear, dear brother, I have come to bring you home. Yes, home. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. That home's like heaven. We're to be together all Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world. Come with me. Let's go, Ebby. This way.
Your sister was always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered. But she had a large heart. She died a woman, but had, as I think, children? No?
One child, my nephew Fred. Oh, how he does resemble his mother.
Come to another Christmas past, a celebration.
Friswick's warehouse. I apprenticed there. Why, it's old Friswick. Bless his heart, it's Friswick alive again at one of his Christmas parties.
Yo-ho there! Ebenezer! Dick! No more work tonight! Christmas Eve! Ha ha ha! Join in the festivities! Merry Christmas all! Come and dance! Hi-li-ho! Hands half round and back again!
Do you recognize yourself, Scrooge? A young man with a twinkle in your eye and a future before you. You're quite enjoying yourself.
Oh, it was a marvelous party spirit. With cake and punch and cold roast and mince pies and plenty of beer. Look at old Feswick. How he dances. It's glorious. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
It was a small matter for old Fezziwig to make these silly folks so full of gratitude,
Small matter? Small indeed.
He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money, and look, is it so much that he deserves praise?
It isn't that at all, Spirit. Fezziwig has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, pleasure or toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
What? Is something bothering you, Scrooge?
No, no. I should like to say a word or two to, Bob Cratchit just now.
Scrooge, my time grows short, quick, several years later.
Ah! Belle, as beautiful as ever.
A penniless girl who loved you, Scrooge.
And I, her. It didn't matter that she had no dowry. We were so happy together.
Until your career with Jacob Marley came between you. As you gained, so you lost. Do you see yourself, Scrooge? You're older now, a man in the prime of life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy, the eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, no, no. Spare me this. Not this, Spirit. No, no!
This music box is a beautiful gift, Ebenezer. But I realize I matter little to you, very little. To protect yourself from a hard and cruel world, you have become hard and cruel in response. I have tried to cheer and comfort you, but another idol has displaced me.
What idol could ever displace you, Belle?
You now worship a golden idol. I've seen your nobler aspirations fall off, one by one. Oh, Ebenezer, you've become another man.
I wanted security, successes for you, Belle.
I seek tenderness, not riches. Therefore, even though it is Christmas, I release you from our engagement with a full heart for the love of him you once were.
No, no, Belle, don't, don't!
Dear Ebenezer, may you be happy in the life you've chosen.
Belle, Belle, no! Spirit, show me no more. Why do you torture me? Remove me! I cannot bear it! Haunt me no longer! No longer! No longer!
Scrooge found himself, once more, alone, back upon his bed. He drifted off to sleep, only to be awakened again by the stroke of one. Scrooge gradually noticed a great blaze of ruddy light glowing from beneath the door. Something was in the outer room.
Come in! Come in, Ebenezer Scrooge! Come in!
He opened the door and beheld his own sitting room transformed. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked like a perfect grove. Around the blazing fire lay a feast of meats and fruits and seething bowls of punch. And there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see. He bore a glowing torch, shaped like Plenty's horn, and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the door.
Ha ha! Come in! Come in and know me better, man! I am the ghost of Christmas Present! You've never seen the likes of me before!
Oh, spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night on compulsion, yet learnt a lesson which is working even now. Tonight, if you have aught to talk to teach me, let me profit by it.
Profit? Still, Scrooge? Well then, touch my robe!
And instantly they were transported to the streets of London on a bright Christmas day. The shops were bustling with jolly people completing their errands or returning from church. The grocers, the poultry and fruit shops, all were busy and all a delight. Presently, Scrooge and the spirit came to Camden Town, to a humble house on a humble street.
This is the home of my clerk, Bob Cratchit. His wife and six children. Why are we here, spirit?
Whatever has got your precious father, then? And your brother, Tiny Tim?
Oh, but here's Martha. Hooray!
Sorry I'm late, Mother. We'd had a deal of work to finish up late last night and to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind. So long as you are, come. Sit you down by the fire, me dear, and have a warm, Lord bless you.
No, Father's coming. Hide, Martha, hide!
Ah, Peter, Belinda, Frederick, Harriet. Why, where's our Martha?
Not coming.
Not coming? Not coming upon Christmas Day?
Here I am. Happy Christmas, Father.
How did little Tim behave at church, Bob?
As good as gold, Mother, and better. Eh, Tim?
I hope the people saw me in church. It might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas. Who made lame beggars walk and blind men see?
Bless you, my son. See, Mother, his heart is strong and he will get better. I know it.
Oh, let's play a game, Father. Play the memory game with us. Please, please?
Yes, and then we'll sing some songs and... Oh, look!
Oh, smell that goose. Hurrah, look, look. There was never such a goose.
All right, be seated. Here you go. Take your turn now. There's plenty of bread and potatoes for all of you. Eat them first.
And later, plum pudding.
Ooh, Tim. Plum pudding. Yum.
Martha, dear, sit next to Tiny Tim and make sure he eats plenty. He must stay strong and well if anything should happen to...
Oh, Mother, don't even think that. We'll see that he eats well.
Quiet, please, quiet. Such feast requires a Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
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 God bless us, everyone.
Tell me, Spirit. Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat by the chimney and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, no. Oh, no, kind spirit. Say he will be spared.
Why? If he be like to die, He better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Oh. You use my own words against me?
Yes, perhaps in the future you will hold your tongue until you have discovered what the surplus population is and where it is. It may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Now for the punch, steaming hot. Take your turn. There's enough for a toast, and one after that.
A toast to Christmas.
Here, I would like to propose a toast to, Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast. To Mr. Scrooge!
No!
Father, please!
Not him!
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had Mr. Scrooge here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, it's Christmas Day.
Oh, I'll drink his health, for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
Come, Ebenezer, to a gathering across town.
My nephew, Fred, his wife, Helen, and their many hungry friends.
And then he said Christmas was a humbug, as I live. And he believed it, too.
More shame for him, Fred. I'm sure he's very rich. At least you always tell me so.
What of that, my dear wife? His wealth is of no use to him. He doesn't make himself comfortable with it. But here, a toast. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, whatever he is. He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it just the same. To Uncle Scrooge.
Come, Ebenezer! There is much more to see. Men who keep Christmas in their hearts. Come!
Much they saw and far they went, and many homes they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful. On foreign lands, and they were close at home. By poverty, and it was rich. In almshouse, hospital, and jail, in misery's every refuge, the spirit of Christmas left his blessing and taught Scrooge as he went. Presently, they returned to the streets of London for the spirit's final lesson, but the spirit had aged.
My life upon this globe is very brief. My time with you, Ebenezer, is almost done. Have you gained by what I have shown you of the good in most men's hearts?
I don't know. How can I promise? Perhaps I'm too old to change.
If it is too hard a lesson to learn, then look upon these. Look here.
What? Two frightful, hideous, miserable children. Yellow, meager, scowling. Spirits, are they... Yours?
They are man's. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both in all of their degree. But most of all, beware this boy. For only his brow I see that written which is doom. Unless the writing be erased, without the spirit of Christmas to confront them, narrow Puritanism and greed would release these wretched beings upon the world!
But spirit, have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
And with that, the ghost of Christmas present dissolved into the mist, and Scrooge stood alone upon the street.
There will now be a brief intermission. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to our presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
As the last stroke of midnight rang, Scrooge remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley and, lifting his eyes, he beheld the third spirit, a solemn phantom, shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming like a mist along the ground towards him.
Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? You are about to show me shadows of the things that I have not yet happened, but will happen? Spirit, will you not speak to me? Oh, ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I've seen, but I, as you know, your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live in another man from what I was, lead on. The night is waning fast, and it is precious time to me. Lead on! Spirit, once more we are at the home of Bob Cratchit, but it is different. So quiet. What is it, Spirit? What kind of Christmas day is this?
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. None but those who are as humble as little children shall enter into heaven. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth
me. Stop, Peter. Stop reading. Oh, my son. My son. My tiny Tim.
Mother, please don't cry. Father will be home soon. Don't let him know you've been crying.
He's late tonight, Martha. When he had Tiny Tim on his shoulder, he would walk very fast indeed. But the child was light to carry, and Father loved him so. It was no trouble, no trouble at all.
Here's Father now.
Sorry I'm late, Mother. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is, but you'll see it often. I promised Tim that we'd walk there on Sundays.
Oh, Bob.
Little child, my little child.
Oh, that's cruel, Spectre. Can't you give me some ray of hope that I may change all of this? That Tiny Tim may live? Spirit, where are you now? Merciful heaven! A dismal, ruinous churchyard, desolate, lonely, crumbling graves. Is poor Tiny Tim buried here? Tell me, Spirit, are these the shadows of the things that will be? Or are they the shadows of the things that may be only? Spirit, that tombstone to which you point, what is written upon it? Wait! The name on the grave is Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge? No! No, Spirit, why show me this if I am past all hope? Am I to become like Jacob Marley? Like the other cursed ghost chained, wandering the earth forever? No! No! Spirit, hear me. I am not the man I was. Tell me that I may change these dreadful shadows. I'll honor Christmas in my heart. I'll try and keep it all year. I'll live in the past, the present, and the future, and not shut out the lessons they teach me. I pray, please, Spirit, that I may sponge away the writing on this stone. I beg you, I'll change. I'll change. I pray. I pray. I'll change. I'll change. Please. Please. I'll change. Why, what's this? My bedpost? I'm home? In my own bed? In my own room? Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven and the Christmas time be praised for this! I don't know what day of the month it is. I don't know how long I've been with the spirits. I don't know anything. Oh, I'm as light as a feather, as merry as a schoolboy, as giddy as a drunken man. Oh, glorious light. Fresh air. Ah, the window. Why? Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
And a Happy New Year, sir.
Boy! What's today? What day is it, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day? Oh, I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night.
And so they had done it all in one night. Scrooge sent the boy to buy the prize turkey and have it delivered to the Cratchit family as an anonymous gift. Then, the new Ebenezer Scrooge dressed himself all in his best and got out into the streets of London. By this time, people were pouring forth, and Scrooge regarded all with a delighted smile and hearty holiday greeting.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
By mere chance, Scrooge came upon the charity seekers he had dismissed yesterday. But today he apologized and made a large donation to their worthy cause, with many back payments included.
Good day, Mr. Scrooge.
He continued to the door of his nephew, Fred, who was in the midst of Christmas dinner with his wife and their many hungry friends.
Uncle Ebenezer? Why, I can't believe you are really here, at my home, on Christmas.
I come to beg your pardon, Fred, for the things I said about Christmas. That was a humbug.
Well, I don't know what to say. Do come in. Helen, look. Well, may I present my wife, Helen.
Uncle Ebenezer, I never expected this of you.
Oh, Helen, so pleased to meet you. But can you forgive an old fool?
Of course. Uncle, of course.
Well, join the feast. Set another place at the table. Here, raise your glasses all. I propose a toast. A toast to Uncle Scrooge.
And so Ebenezer Scrooge rejoined his family and rejoined the family of man. The next morning, Scrooge was early at the office. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. That was the thing he had set his heart upon. And was Bob ever late? The clock had struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. Finally...
Mr. Cratchit. What do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Bob Cratchit, I will not stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I am about to... raise your salary.
Oh, please, sir, you're going to raise my salary? But, sir...
Wait! No, Bob. I've not lost my senses. I've come to them. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I have ever given you for many a year. Yes, I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family. We will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Bob Cratchit, Merry Christmas.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he became a second father. And it was always said that Ebenezer Scrooge knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us, all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim sagely observed,
God bless us, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a very merry production of WCRI and Newport Classical. This story was adapted for radio and scored by Anthony E. Palermo. If our little production has provided you and your family with good cheer, then you have only to thank Charles Dickens. And so, as Tiny Tim sagely observed,
God bless us, everyone.
From all of us at WCRI and Newport Classical,
Merry Christmas!
Wow, that was so fun! I wonder what we'll listen to on the next show. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Kids Hour, and we'll see you again real soon. WCRI's Kids Hour is brought to you by Newport Classical. Newport Classical has brought memorable concerts and inspired programs to some of the most beautiful venues in Newport and the surrounding area. For more information on Newport Classical or to donate, please visit newportclassical.org. Gotta run! The concert hall doors are about to close. See you later!